tonight, DJ, the DJ, bringing you another great mix. Thanks for listening to People Powered Radio.
Imagine this. You're on a road trip with your friends. You stop at Starbucks and run in to grab some coffee. And as you're waiting, you look out the window and realize someone is robbing your van full of stuff at gunpoint. That's what happened on the first day of the band sports team's very first U.S. tour. And the really crazy thing, according to lead singer Alex Rice, is that while this was happening, the barista just kept on serving customers.
We live in like central London, you know, it's hardly the easiest place in the world to live. But if someone was to pull a gun there, they'd shut down like a square mile of the city and have SWAT teams in there within half an hour.
Alex Rice and guitarist Rob Nags tell that story and talk about their latest album, Boys These Days, and why they felt the need to switch up their sound a bit.
We were slightly becoming a covers version of ourselves. You know, we were the kind of like wedding version of our own band where every song we do, you'd be like, okay, it's going to be like 160 BPM, the mid late will slow down, and there's going to be this really double speed outro where Alex is shouting.
Sports team, today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. Tammy Larson had just finished a pickup of food from the Baxter Menards Tuesday afternoon.
Menards has been doing a food drive in the month of October, so we're picking up like week three of that. There'll be a little bit more for us to pick up at the end of the month. We got a big drop-off from Grand Casino. They were doing a food drive just coincidentally also in the month of October. So that was a big thing.
She's the director of the Lakes Area Food Shelf in Pequot Lakes. The No Barrier Shelf recently announced plans to open a second location to serve Brainerd and Baxter. The area needs more access to food. And Northern Minnesota nonprofits are feeling the weight of food insecurity amid a challenging economy, changes to important federal programs, and the government shutdown.
The food banks are struggling because of the USDA cuts to get the food that they have before. So we have tremendously less food to pick from for ordering for our monthly orders from Second Harvest Northland. And that's challenging enough, right?
But like many food shelves, Lakes Area is also seeing more and more families. A year ago, Larson says they served about 150 to 180 families a week. This year, it's closer to 180 to 200. And a couple of weeks ago, they had 225 families come in.
Two Wednesdays ago, we had 9 new families. Last Wednesday, we had 15 new families. So those numbers are just unprecedented.
The recent uncertainty around SNAP benefits adds yet another layer. That's what's been on Kutaska Executive Director Marta Kerrigan's mind.
I think some of it is really right in front of us and people are really aware of it. I think the layers and the ripples worry me because I don't think that people have really felt the impact of those yet. There's, you know, families sitting across from us that are in distress and it's really hard to see. Sorry, I probably get a little emotional here, but and I worry for my staff because that takes a toll on them too, to be wanting to help people and not have all of the resources or answers or things that people need.
The timing of this uncertainty only amplifies it. That's really the best word for it, uncertainty. Our economic outlook is unclear, but it doesn't feel great. Who knows when the government shutdown will end? Federal funding for long-running programs is up in the air, and it's all happening as temperatures drop in Minnesota. Energy assistance funds that families rely on for heating are expecting to be delayed by at least a month and not start until late November. The holidays are another compounding factor.
November is like Thanksgiving, which is a holiday like very centered around food. And so on top of people not being able to meet their like regular needs for like weekday meals and dinners, the closer we get to Thanksgiving, the more pressure there will be on individuals and families to meet those societal expectations of what should be happening.
But both Kerrigan and Larson have seen their communities coming together to meet the need. Kerrigan says that looks a little different everywhere. Typically, monetary donations are better for food shelves because they get better wholesale prices than the average person. But Kuchiching County organizations say food donations are better for them right now.
It's good for people to kind of source out and figure out what is my community need that I can do.
Kerrigan says she hopes through all this, the community has learned more about food insecurity.
And about ways that we can continue to support that, even after some of the more obvious part of the crisis has passed. Because those things are going to continue to exist, especially in rural communities.
To do our part, KAXE News has compiled a list of food resources for northern Minnesota. But we need your help keeping that list updated. We also need you to help us amplify our community's voices. Share yours by emailing news@kaxe.org. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Since releasing their Mercury Prize-nominated debut album, Deep Down Happy, 5 years ago, British band Sports Team have been critically lauded for their music that combines an irresistibly fun energy with clever social commentary. And while their sound has changed and grown, along with the band members themselves, those two ingredients are still a big part of their latest album, Boys These Days. Today, I'm talking to Sports Team lead singer Alex Rice and guitarist Rob Nags about that record, about getting older, and about an incident last year where they became the subject of social and political commentary here in the U.S. Our conversation is coming up, but first, a song from Boys These Days that I've had stuck in my head since it came out months ago. This is Sports Team, I'm in Love, Subaru, on World Cafe.
Thank you.
Live by Sports Team for World Cafe. That was I'm in Love Subaru from their latest album, Boys These Days. I'm Raina Duras, joined by Sports Team's Alex Rice and Rob Nags. Guys, welcome to the World Cafe.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hello. Hey, thanks a lot for having us. Appreciate that.
Thanks for being here. Rob, you wrote the lyrics to that song, I'm in Love Subaru. It's based on an actual car, but from a video game. Could you tell us about that video game, where you saw that car?
Yeah, so we were, when I was a kid, I was probably 15 years old, and there was this game called Colin McRae's Rally. It was like a kind of very, now you'd look back and be like, it's a very tacky sort of video game. You drive around really fast and do jumps and stuff. But at the time, I really loved it. And I think, I was trying to write a sort of love song from that perspective of when you're 15, you kind of, you see those sort of like symbols of that kind of fast car as being this sort of vision of manhood and speed and everything. I remember sitting there when I was about 15 in my little Anne Robinson glasses and thinking like, oh, this is it, you know, this is all I need in my life now. If I can get myself like a kind of Subaru Impreza, I'm going to be the Lothario that I've always been meant to be. So I think, I was kind of writing that song from that perspective, that kind of real teenage, adolescent sort of view of what you need to make your life perfect, you know.
One of the threads that does seem to run through this album is impending adulthood. And I'm saying adulthood in quotes, however you kind of want to define that.
Yeah.
What did you think, beyond having a cool car that would make you feel like a grown-up, what did you think adult life would be like?
I guess it's this, very like teenage boy sort of view, but definitely the way things are kind of sold to you and advertised to you, adult life, it's very much around these sort of like, you know, masculinity is this kind of high-powered sports car, and it's the sort of... the babe on your arm, and it's that kind of high-powered job, and you're sort of, you know, I don't know what I probably thought working was like when I was a kid, but it's probably, you know, going into the big city in your suit and having 18 bottles of wine at lunch and then hopping into my, you know, high-powered sports car and speeding down the motorway home. So I think, it's just that kind of, real, like, early 2000s or 90s sort of vision of the sort of working provider and that super macho kind of culture, I guess.
And then being in a band... and growing up kind of that way and that being your adulthood is a very different image of adulthood. Well, how's it compared so far?
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I'm sat in my flat now and it's very the opposite of glamour. It's kind of horrible.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you very much. You can't see the black mold over the video cameras, but I think it's different, you know. I think we were kind of like probably both, Alex and I, and probably everyone in the band, we were like sort of slightly dorky kids, you know. We were very into music and going to gigs. But I don't think you really get into that that scene that much if you're the most well-adjusted sort of teenage kid, you know. I think it's sort of, that's what kind of guitar music and kind of, I guess, that whole scene and like punk was when we were kids, you know, going to a gig and you're moshing and you're sort of finding that sort of place where you belong and you kind of make your friends through it. And it gives you those sort of... you know, slightly different goalposts as opposed to the fast cars and massive muscles that I think we probably can never quite manage.
Alex, speaking of growing up, congratulations. I know you became a dad this year. I had your daughter earlier this year, your first kid. It's a big adult step. What has been the biggest surprise so far in being a dad?
It's a funny one. I think your priorities change quite quick, but also... sort of don't change. I think the stuff I was probably pretty most worried about is kind of, could you still see friends and things like that. Actually, kind of being in a band gives you quite a nice balance, but it is like, I think being in a band has always been this kind of weird juggle between kind of, you go on stage or you go on tour and you live kind of very intensely in a very specific way with kind of very few responsibilities for like 2 weeks, a month, however long it is that you go away for. And then now I would say like kind of the starkness of coming back, which is kind of incredible in its own way, but like that contrast has been even more heightened. Mm-hmm. I always used to feel like the feeling coming off stage was very odd when you just had to kind of But the bit people don't get about being in a band is how much of it is like sitting in a van or a tour bus kind of doing absolutely nothing for 10 hours before you get somewhere. And that contrast between like the very, very prosaic stuff and then these kind of transformative moments where you're at, like, two nights ago we were on stage in front of like 6,000 people in Halifax, and then you come back and your child's like, I mean, they don't care at all, you know? It's like, it's the most prosaic thing in the world, which is kind of amazing, very, very grounding in a lot of ways. So yeah, I think it's that contrast and kind of just trying to juggle mindsets without becoming kind of completely schizophrenic about the whole thing.
Well, I want to talk about the sound of the album and making the album in a few minutes, but we're going to hear another live performance first. And this is a song where, again, you're kind of imagining different phases of adulthood. Rob, could you talk about where your head was at when you were writing Maybe When We're 30?
Yeah, I think... I guess it's probably one of those songs that is kind of Alex says about the sort of change of pace of having a baby and stuff. And I think, you know, I haven't quite got to that phase of my life yet. But there's definitely this sense, you know, we were in a band for a long time, touring for a long time, and all these things that kind of looked really like you're trying to escape, you know, suburbia, and you want to escape that sort of life your parents have when you're a kid, you know. All these things that I think now we look at and you go, that's the dream, you know, a job, a secure job until you're 50, then a pension, you know, being able to afford a house, being able to afford to have a family. You know, to afford like all those things that were so normal. You know, you watch The Simpsons or Family Guy, and that kind of vision of an American suburban life, or like Malcolm in the Middle, is kind of unobtainable. You know, those are now like mansions they're living in. And so, yeah, I think it's just sort of written from that perspective of being slightly like all these things that I guess when I was sort of 18 or 19, I would have slightly, you know, scoffed at and been like, no, I want to live as an artist and I want to be a musician. And I don't care about all that kind of stuff. All that suburban escapism is now the sort of thing that you look at and you go, like, that is a sort of fantasy, you know, it's this kind of this dream, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's a track this week, because it's like the last track on the album, and I think this one kind of pairs with the first one, Subaru is kind of, I guess, this sort of very naive take on like love and success and things like that. Like success can mean owning the supercar, and then you get into kind of the jadedness of 30, I think, by the end of the album. Like, in a lot of the tracks that come in between them are the sort of things that creep into your life that kind of make that mindset change happen, I think.
Yeah. Well, here it is. This is Sports Team, Maybe When We're 30, live for the World Cafe.
We'll see you inside.
Sports Team, recorded live for World Cafe. That song is called Maybe When We're 30. It's from their new album, Voice These Days. Alex and Rob of Sports Teams are my guests today. I'm Raina Duris. You let yourself take your time writing and working on this album. Why did you want to give yourselves a bit of a break after your last record gulp in 2022?
Well, I think we've got to the peak of where we could get to, making, I guess, quite like a kind of pub rock influenced and kind of a bit like slackery influenced sort of music. And I think we've kind of nailed that on, especially album one. Like we can do the raucous crowd thing, you know, and like you can do a kind of punky thing. And then there was this whole kind of wider area of music that I think we'd always listened to, but never really felt like we could make. So like people like Prefab Sprout, Hecker 100, like some of these 80s bands who have a kind of really like hedonistic take on music. And I think for us, it's the first time we've worked with a different producer. So this guy, Matthias Telles, he's worked on acts like, he's worked on Girl in Red, who a lot of people will know, and the last CMAS album, which is really brilliant. We're like, oh, you know what? Like, I think we're ready to kind of go into a more studio record now and not have kind of the pressure of it being, okay, this is something we need to be able to play live and it sounds raucous and kind of visceral. It's like, let's make something that sounds amazing and sounds really rich and but still has something to say and all the kind of lyrical themes. So I think it's the first time we really felt ready as musicians to make an album that sounded different.
Talk a little bit more about that. How did the sound that you landed on connect with the stuff that you were writing about lyrically?
It's good. I guess it's kind of tricky because I think the two were kind of linked up. I guess, I don't know, there's maybe an element of like maturity without sounding too boring and kind of like we're creating, you know, music for people who have given up. But there's definitely like a sense, I think as Alex says, just that we'd sort of backed ourselves slightly into a corner with like 160 BPM songs and really very like detached lyrics, I think. And it was like, I think it's still music that we all love. And, you know, I'm sure at some point we may go back to doing it, but it definitely just did feel like we were slightly becoming a covers version of ourselves. You know, we were the kind of like wedding version of our own band where every song we do, you'd be like, okay, it's going to be like 160 BPM, the mid late will slow down, and there's going to be this really double speed outro where Alex is shouting and screaming. I think it was just kind of stepping back a little bit and trying to like, not relying so much on that kind of like intensity and shouting and speed and just being like, how can we make a record that has those same, the same like core identity, but isn't just a kind of pastiche of something we did when we were 22.
So let's talk about when you were in the studio. You were in Norway with your producer, Matthias. What was a typical day like when you were working on the album?
It was great. It was, I think the Scandinavian countries have a very good sort of work-life balance. And he was also expecting a baby. So we'd sort of turn up at 10, he'd drop his daughter at the nursery, then come to the studio. We'd have a nice long lunch break at about 12. So, you know, he'd get a bit of work done in the morning. And then by 4 o'clock, we'd be like, okay, he's going back to pick his kid up from nursery, then going back to cook dinner for his wife and everything. So we had a lot more. I think in England, there's a lot of expectation that you get into the studio midday and you're there until, you know, 2 a.m. or something. There's that kind of real need to flog yourself and make everything super miserable and intense. It was like a really weirdly relaxed and productive way of working, I think. And then we'd spend a lot of time in the evenings just walking around Bergen's, you know, incredibly beautiful, surrounded by these massive cliffs and mountains and fjords and lots of kind of strange old Cold War bunkers and things as well. So we just go on these huge hikes up into the mountains in the afternoons and evenings. And it was amazing.
Yeah, Bergen's a weird place. It's got, it's kind of like, I think people think of Norway and Scandinavia as kind of these sort of perfect societies, and they have kind of got the facade of them quite quick. Like everyone seems very well adjusted and quite kind of fit and healthy, and you don't see a lot of problems there kind of thing. But I think Bergen especially has got kind of an underbelly you get into really, really quick. I mean, it's kind of quite well known for that black metal scene. So it's got the like the black metal church up there, and you only have to go like into the back room of the music shop kind of thing, and they'll show you the picture of like the album cover where someone's like, it's the singer that's just been shot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like the black metal church and like the secret t-shirts they don't have on sale everywhere else. And also you've got this kind of contrast when you go to the bars and stuff like that between like people popping out for a quiet drink and then a lot of people who are sort of shipping out to the oil rigs, which is always quite interesting, I think. So like it's got such a mix there, and I think you see the cracks in the society a lot more, especially in Bergen, because it is kind of this port and a gateway and things. And also surrounded by, it's got a Russian border and surrounded by Cold War bunkers and ice. Yeah, it's quite a fascinating place.
That's Alex Rice of the band Sports Team. My conversation with Alex and guitarist Rob Nags continues in just a moment. We talk about social media and about a video they posted to their TikTok last year when they were robbed at gunpoint right at the beginning of their U.S. tour. That's after this quick break on World Cafe.
Hope you're having a great Monday morning, and thanks so much for listening to the World Cafe on People Powered Radio KAXE KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. And we received support from Lakeland PBS, offering 24/7 PBS Kids programming, the PBS Kids video app, educational resources for teachers, parents, and more at lptv.org. Friends of the Brainerd Public Library continue their Brown Bag author series today, Monday, November 3rd at noon, with Jack Craywinkle. He'll discuss his book of short stories, North of Highway 2. We received support from the Itasca Unitarian Fellowship in Grand Rapids, a welcoming community for those engaged in the spiritual journey of life. All are welcome Sundays at 10 a.m. mid-September through mid-May. More at itascaunitarianfellowship.org or on Facebook. Curl Masabi in Eveleth has open houses November 3rd to the 6th from 6 to 8 each night. Curling instruction and equipment provided. Bring clean athletic shoes and wear comfortable clothing and a light jacket. Now back to the World Cafe.
Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. If you're just joining in, today I'm with the British band Sports Team, talking to lead singer Alex Rice and guitarist Rob Nags about their latest album, Boys These Days. Rob, you've talked about how one of the themes that revealed itself to you guys while you were making this album was the sort of overwhelming and disjointed nature of modern life and the way that we consume media in an endless scroll. And the next song that we're going to hear you perform live, I think, really kind of gets into that whole idea. Was there a specific post or a day online that led you to the song Sensible?
No, I think it's just like I'm definitely like a doom scroller. I'm very bad at sort of waking up. I'm super aware, because you always see these things on Instagram on. People will share these really depressing things. You zoom onto it like 7 a.m., which is like, don't look at your phone for 2 hours when you wake up. It's so bad for you. I'm always super well. I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep. I'm going to read a book. I want to do something awesome. And then sort of within 20 seconds, I'm sat there, scrolling through insane videos on Instagram. So no, I think for me, it was very much an everyday occurrence, sadly.
Yeah, I think like the first maybe couple times I listened to this song, I didn't totally like put it all together, and then I realized I'm like, this feels like going through someone's Instagram feed. Like this feels like like an influencer is showing me things.
Exactly. It's kind of trying to do that thing an influencer does, you know, like kind of romanticize every aspect of your own life and kind of try and make it this kind of fable that I think a lot of the songs try and do. And by putting stuff in a song, you can make kind of your local seem like this place of massive significance and kind of imbue it with all this kind of emotion and glamour. Yeah. So yeah, I think it does a little bit of that.
Here it is live. This is Sensible on World Cafe. It's Sports Team.
Sensible, you're also sensible, you're also sensible, no.
On World Cafe, a live performance from Sports Team. They're performing their song Sensible. I'm Raina Duras. Alex and Rob of Sports Team are hanging out with me today. We were talking about phones earlier on. I know the band is active on TikTok, but I am curious, what are your TikTok algorithms like when you open it yourself?
I don't spend that much time on TikTok. I think I'm too old. I think this is my sort of boomer moment where I just don't understand TikTok. And I can see my mum will say she can't understand Instagram. I realize I'm aging out of the world a little bit, but yeah, it hasn't got me yet. I see Ricey on there.
I think I just get Tate McRae. Just permanently Tate McRae, which probably isn't worth delving into much more.
In case you're not familiar with Tate McRae, a Canadian pop star. So there you go. That's an interesting thing, if that's all it is. You guys do post on TikTok, and you posted a video I do want to talk about late last year. This is for American radio. We have to talk about this. It was actual footage of you guys getting robbed at gunpoint in California on the first day of your U.S. tour. I'm going to play a little clip of the audio.
Just get down.
Get down, Lauren, get down. Ring the police. Guys, somebody ring the police. Yeah, and my laptop.
So that's a bit of the video of the robbery that a Sports Team experienced in California last year on their TikTok. Could you guys explain what happened?
Right, so you got this one?
It'll be quite descriptive about it. It's we just set off. We'd landed in San Francisco the night before, and so we stayed at a hotel the night before and were setting off for our first date. Probably an hour into the drive in the van, full of gear and everything, we pulled over it from a gas station, get some coffee, kind of thing, fill up the van. And while we were inside at a Starbucks, someone was like, oh, is that that's someone breaking into your guy's van? So, that's what's happened to us in the UK as well. So we all kind of ran out. And then three guys, one of them kind of pulled a gun and pointed it straight at us. And then obviously, I don't think I've ever seen a gun before, you know? So everyone kind of sprints back in, and these people kind of proceed to rob the van at their leisure, essentially. And then they're like... we called the police as well, and they were just like, oh, if you could file an online report, kind of as we're being robbed at gunpoint, 5 minutes after, maybe. So that was, I guess, that the really shocking bit wasn't necessarily the gun element of it for us. It was more how relaxed people seemed in that area about it. We had a US content guy out there who was like, oh, man, not again. All the kind of Starbucks coffee servers just kind of kept serving while it was happening. Police seemed super chill about it. That was the bit that I think we found really jarring when we were out there. But yeah, that's what happened to us. And then, to be honest, the reaction we got from people in California was amazing. People were so supportive and really kind of looked after us after that. So we love the US. I still think it's an unbelievable country, but it was a really kind of strange experience, and strange how, I guess, resigned people were to that level of gun violence. I mean, we live in central London, it's hardly kind of the easiest place in the world to live. But if someone was to pull a gun there, they'd shut down a square mile of the city and have SWAT teams in there within half an hour, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the odd bit.
When Fox News wanted to do an interview with you guys and then changed their mind?
Yeah, that was quite funny. Yeah, so we did a lot of press. And that was kind of the interesting thing about how politicized it got so quickly. So I think what Fox would do, we agree, I would happily speak to Fox, I'd happily give them my point of view. But then I think kind of as soon as they we posted something like a link to Every Town USA, they were like, nope, not having that. But I assume what they kind of wanted was me to say something a lot of gun violence, it might be this guy Gavin Newsom's fault, kind of thing. So it got caught up in that very, very quick, and I think that's why it was an interesting story to people, just that kind of politicized side of it and whose fault it is, which doesn't seem like a particularly healthy place to be trying to deal with it from.
I'm speaking with Sports Team on World Cafe. Even before that happened, I mean, you get into politics in your music, and specifically American politics, issues that are kind of like uniquely American, like the gun violence and gun control and things like that. Why is that, as a British band, something that you want to write about?
I think we've spent a lot of time in America, and I think also kind of growing up in the UK, America is such a kind of cultural touch point. You know, we listened to so many American bands and watched so much American TV. And then when, you know, we've come to America and toured a lot, I kind of feel, it feels like it's, you know, a part of your life in this strange way. And so I think it felt quite natural to have some of those sort of themes come up, I guess, when we were writing.
Yeah, and like America, it's still, I think if you're making anything within cultures, you try and do it in a way that kind of has an impact and has a relevance, you know, and the US is, it's worst of having, you're Rome, you know, like Britain used to be, and we're kind of a faded power now, I guess. But if you want to kind of really like have an impact, you've got to like deal with US issues. And it is such like such an incredible country and drives cultural change in so many ways. And in Europe, we get a lot secondhand that starts over there. So I think if you're not engaging with what's going on in the US, like you'd be crazy. You'd be kind of writing like a fantasy.
Given the climate right now with the increased scrutiny at the border, do you ever worry about whether speaking up will impact your ability to tour in the States?
I personally haven't worried about it. Like, well, I think we come like into the US with kind of like thinking it's the greatest country on earth, like thinking it just needs to kind of prove that at more levels, you know. That's how I feel about it anyway. I've got so much respect for kind of US culture and coming in there. I mean, the closest we got was our guitarist Henry's a bit sick, and he was speaking to the border security guard the last time he came in. The guy lifts his hand up and to try and get him to kind of show his fingerprints, and Henry high-fived him. He was kind of immediately asked to like get down and remove from the queue. So like it'll be more kind of, I think, idiocy that stops us getting in than any particular like views we've espoused.
That's so pure and beautiful.
I know.
Rob, what about you? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's as Alex says, it's not really something we would necessarily think about. You know, if it happens, it happens. I don't think we would change what we speak about in our music or how we sort of speak about ourselves culturally more generally because of that sort of worry, you know. And I guess if it does happen, it's something that will happen when it happens.
Whatever's happening in the US, it was probably not what I'd vote for, you know, but I don't think there's a problem with half the US population. Like, we've met a lot of really great people who probably do vote Trump, you know, and there's a reason. I think the worst thing you can ever be is kind of patronizing or kind of overzealous when you come over.
My guests are Sports Team on World Cafe. Their new album is called Boys These Days. We have one more song we're going to hear you play live. It is called Bang, Bang, Bang. You wrote it before the robbery happened. It's got kind of a Western movie soundtrack vibe, which is a nice touch. When you're talking about American gun violence, which you do in this song, you mentioned things like the NRA in here. But you have like a sense of humor in it as well. And before we hear it, I guess to sort of continue our conversation about this, what do you think music can do to change things or raise awareness? How do you think about writing about politics in your songs?
You know, I think that's like we always talk about this a lot, you know, what your sort of role is and how important what you write is. And I think probably I'd be more on the, you know, I don't necessarily think that a single song can. There's a lot of amazing music right now coming out of America, and there's a lot of amazing protest music. And I would say that, you know, if anything right now, the situation is getting worse. You know, it doesn't feel like that stuff's necessarily, you know, sadly, it doesn't seem to directly have that kind of impact. But I do think there's an element in which having a big live crowd and sort of using that and that sense of community and belonging can be very effective, you know. And I think in the UK we've sort of seen that with bands like Kneecap or lots of people talking out right now about the sort of Palestinian issue. And I do think that willingness to use your platform to share a message can actually be very helpful in sort of normalizing people speaking out and kind of leading those conversations. So I do think there's definitely a place where musicians can be really effective. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure if that's like a lyrical thing or an artistic thing, or whether that's more about just using that raw platform and the raw sort of ability you have to speak to maybe, you know, 10,000 people at a time at a concert.
I think that's it. I think it's like the kind of, it gives you the space to kind of meet like-minded people, and it gives you kind of a sense of community that I think you used to get from a lot more places in society that have been kind of stripped away through like underfunding largely, like where it's like people, a lot more people 20 years ago even would have been members of youth clubs or like play team sports or be in a trade union or something like that. And I think society has lost a lot of those places. And I think music, and especially kind of small music venues that are like more like ones we play in the US, are that kind of forum for people to meet and feel a sense of togetherness and kind of try and actually kind of live a different world rather than just talking about it. And I think that's probably the most powerful thing music does.
I love that. I think we can leave it there. This is Bang Bang Bang, performed live for World Cafe. It's Sports Team. Recorded live for the World Cafe, that was Sports Team with Bang Bang Bang. It's a song from their new album, Boys These Days. I've been talking to Alex Rice and Rob Nags of Sports Team. Guys, thank you so much. I've really loved talking to you both.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks
so much. Been really good to talk to you too.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
The World Cafe is brought to you by people-powered radio KAXE KBXE. Good morning. My name is Dan Gannon. We receive support from Dragonfly Coffee, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery and offering espresso, bubble tea, and more. Empowering inclusion and community through employment, special orders available, and more at drinkdragonfly.com. The Arrowhead Library System presents They Brought Their Songs, International Folk Music in Minnesota with musical trio Kaylee, now through November 5th. Find a full list of dates, times, and locations at alslib.info. And we'd like to thank the First State Bank of Big Fork, with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device. Hometown banking at its best since 1912. FSBBigFork.com, member FDIC. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is looking for people to collect tree seeds and cones this fall and winter. Current high-demand species include jack pine, black spruce, and red pine. Visit mndnr.gov/seedcone for more information. Now back to the World Cafe.
Recognize that? That's the theme to the very long-running British television show Coronation Street. That theme also makes an appearance on Sports Team's latest album. Right before the break, I was talking with Sports Team. There's an extended version of that interview at worldcafe.org where they discuss Coronation Street and getting that sample. You can also hear it on the podcast. Just search up World Cafe on your favorite podcast app. Here's Fastball, The Way.
They made up their minds and they started packing. They left before the sun came up that day. An exit to eternal summer slacking. But where were they going without ever
could see the road that they walk on is painted with gold. It's always summer, they'll never get cold. They'll never get hungry, they'll never get old and gray. You can see their shadow wandering off somewhere. They won't make it home, but they really don't care. They wanted the highway, they're happy there.
Victim of Love. That is the Eagles coming up to the end of this hour of World Cafe. Thank you again to Sports Team for being on the show today. And thank you to World Cafe senior producer Kimberly Junod for her work on that session. Also, as always, big shout out to our affiliates all across the country who bring you this show, including WOUB out of Athens, Ohio. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. And by the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon. My name is Dan Gannon. Weather in the listening region today, sunny, highs in the mid-50s, breezy west winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour. There is an elevated risk of wildfire with these conditions. Be very cautious when it comes to fire. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows near 31. Tomorrow, Tuesday, cloudy, highs in the mid-50s again. Light southeast wind, overnight lows in the low 30s with a slight chance of rain. And Wednesday, sunny, highs in the upper 40s. Our KAXE question of the week is Minnesota's firearm. Deer season opens this Saturday. Do you have any hunting traditions or stories to share? You can text us at 218-326-1234. Headwaters is your source for great music weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. on KAXE. On Tuesday, November 4th, Brainerd